You are listening to CFRU 93.3. I'm Carly, and today I'm talking to a dear friend of mine. His name is Abbas.
Hi, radio. Air fellow clear away.
So, first, do you want to just introduce yourself, Abbas?
Well, I'm 19 years old. I'm a student at Fanshawe as well, and I'm queer. I'm gay. Gay man. I lived in Dubai for the past 2 years. And I'm Indian, so it's different takes, can you say?
So, yeah, why don't we start off with your experience in Dubai? You were going to school in Dubai, right?
Yeah, well, I went to school for a year. I finished my grade 12 there, and then I went to college for a year and a half in Dubai. I think my gay experience in Dubai went through two phases.
Okay, so how did it start out?
It started off, like, really, really on the down low. Like, I didn't really know much about the gay scene in Dubai.
Right.
And I think for the first year, it was pretty much just online hookups and stuff. So
yeah.
Nothing, like, really on the scene. I didn't really know about much of the gay life. And then I think, so that was from 2006. I think in 2007, around March, I started making friends who were gay as well. And I kind of got introduced into the gay scene then.
So is there a big community in Dubai, or is it very underground? Or?
It is. It's underground, definitely, because it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the penalty for being gay in Dubai is you can get deported.
Right.
Or...
And what if you're a resident of Dubai?
Well, if you're a resident of Dubai,
yeah,
the law kind of looks over you. Like,
yeah.
Kind of turns a blind eye.
Like, but as an immigrant, then you would be deported.
Yeah.
For.
If you would be deported, or I think even for a while they were trying out, like, injecting gay people with testosterone to make them straight.
And that was just targeted at men, I guess.
Yeah, and in the end, it made them gayer, because what is testosterone? It's just, you know, a man's sex drive, anyways.
Yeah.
So you're creating, like, gay monsters.
Backfired a little bit.
But. Like, otherwise, like, you always hear horror stories in Dubai, but it wasn't as bad as one may think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess the worst thing I heard about was there was a mass gay wedding once in Dubai. Like, more than, like, 30 or 40 couples were getting married at once.
Wow.
Yeah, and the cops raided that and arrested everyone, but other than that, like, I really haven't heard much more.
So, in, like, when people are in public, I guess they can't really be, like, overtly gay, like...
Depends, again, on which part of the city you're in.
Right.
Like, there's three different parts to Dubai. There's Jumeirah. Jumeirah is where the beach is and stuff. There's Dera and Bird Dubai, which are, like, it's the middle of the city,
mm-hmm.
where that actually was Dubai, like, the main part of Dubai. And then there's, like... Mirdif, which is like the older part of Dubai, right? But it's been constructed and it's being new again. Now, the thing with, like, the middle of Dubai is where the lower class gays are.
Okay.
So that's where, like, most of the cruising and stuff happens, but it's just, and I guess it's where the gay scene, like, started, right?
Okay.
But it's not overt. But if you go into, like, Jumeirah and stuff, it is more openly gay there. Because, again, Jumeirah is mostly full of white European tourists and just rich people who are staying there. So I guess if you're a white rich person, you kind of have more power.
Right. It's the whole, last week we used the term gay bourgeoisie.
It's pretty much it, right there.
Yeah. And I guess there is a big class difference in Dubai.
Oh, yeah. There is. There's two main classes. Really, it's the upper middle class, and then there's the middle class, and then there's the, like, the unspeakables, like we call them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the lowest class in Dubai, and they're all just laborers, like people who come, and those people are really the ones who built Dubai, but they're treated like slaves and stuff. So we call them unspeakables because people just have learned to not notice them anymore.
Right.
And so they're usually uneducated. They're from they're from like the poorer parts of India and Bangladesh, and you know they're brought to Dubai on the promise of money and stuff, and their passports are held by their company, and you know they're just treated really bad.
Oh,
yeah, awful. That's a whole other human rights
issue.
Yeah,
that's we could talk at length about that. So, what kind of places does the cruising happen?
There's two main places really. Like the first, there's a few underground gay clubs in Dubai. Not a few, it's maybe two or three at max. I can't name them because of issues with the government in Dubai.
Yeah, that's completely understandable.
And then that's where like the more sceney kind of gay guys go, like the more flamboyant gay guys would go there to the clubs and stuff. And then there the other, you know, more sexual oriented gay guys would go to the beach, and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's more, the other place where the cruising happens.
Yeah, like a bathhouse on the beach.
Yeah, okay. And what about, were you exposed at all to like a queer women's scene in Dubai? Like,
not really. Like, I knew there were a lot of queer women. Like, I actually knew just a few of them. Like, I knew a few lesbians, but I'm guessing the scene for them was way different than for the gay men.
Yeah.
And it was more underground for them, and I'm not entirely sure about
the community
scene.
Yeah. So, wanted to ask you how your experience in Dubai might have been different if you hadn't have grown up with the support in the queer community in Toronto.
I think it would have been quite different. Like, I think the support and just being a part of a queer community where it was, you know, a very safe environment, like it was here in Toronto, would help me, like, find the community in Dubai. Like, I mean, of course it wasn't a community, it was very underground, it was, you know, at sometimes it could be, you know, like a big party, but at sometimes, you know, you'd have to really search for it, but
I guess without that previous exposure, it would have been hard to know
exactly
what to look for. And
it's all about knowing what to look for. And I think that's how the communities has started in Dubai itself, right? It's people coming from other countries who've been part of a gay community, who know what they're looking for, come and, you know, just kind of start their own thing.
Right.
And that's how our whole gay community started. I mean, you have to understand that Dubai is a pretty new city. It's less than 30 to 40 years old.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that new.
It's a baby.
Yeah.
So, everything is still pretty much in the starting stages. It's one big plastic.
Yeah.
We love plastic.
And it being such a new city, do you think that's had a big impact on how the queer community is too? Like, the culture of the community?
Well, yeah, I think so, because the law really doesn't know what they're doing yet with the whole queer thing.
Right.
Like, Dubai follows, like, the United Arab Emirates, where the country is.
Yeah.
And it follows Sharia law, which is Muslim law. But Dubai kind of exempts itself from that.
Because it's such a multicultural,
yeah,
international city.
Yeah. And because it's just so liberal as compared to the other parts of the United Arab Emirates. Dubai, first of all, it serves alcohol. Right, and allows women to live together. I'm sorry, men and women to live together before marriage. That's one of, like, so it's quite a progressive city. So it kind of exempts itself from Sharia law, like the rest of the country. Unlike the rest of the country. So I'm not too sure if, like, you know, the whole law system is completely worked out its kinks yet. And, you know, in those terms. Yeah.
Did you ever have any run-ins with the law at all? Or, like, was there ever a time you didn't feel safe?
Not really, but I've heard of things. Like, I talked about the big mass wedding.
Right,
and
yeah,
as well, I remember there was one time where, this was a couple of months before I went to Dubai. One of the major clubs in Dubai in this area called the Madinat Jumeirah, which is like, if you've heard of the Burj Al Arab, the big hotel, the 7-star hotel, it's right next to it. And it's like, this whole area just full of like clubs and stuff. And so there's a big club in there, I forget the club's name, but it actually like openly advertised a gay night, like, and they flew in like a drag queen and stuff to perform and stuff.
Wow, that's a pretty big step.
It was, and I think it was too far.
Yeah.
Because the police did show up and arrest everyone involved in that. Like, all the clubbers that night, even the drag queen, I think, was arrested.
Wow.
That really put a bad dent in Dubai
then. Yeah, that set things back, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess Dubai wasn't ready then.
Mm-hmm. And do you see things moving forward in the future?
I think maybe not in the near future, but in the long run, I do think that things will change. Because Dubai really does want to be like Europe and like North America.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's where all of its money is coming from anyways. So it does create like, Dubai is very plastic in that sense, in that it can mold itself into whatever you want it to be. Like, there are areas of Dubai that can cater to anything you want. We have areas like called, you know, the Marina, which is basically like a man-made lake, and it's just a whole, it's a pleasure dome.
Yeah,
Dubai.
I think I've heard about that a little bit.
And it wants to be like a fashion capital of the world. So in order to be a fashion capital of the world, you have to, you know, accept the gays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to be a stereotype, but kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, very different, but you can't have one without the other, I think. Like, I think if I had grown up in Dubai, I would have never found the gay community. I think I would still be in the closet as well. But it was growing up in Toronto that helped me
mm-hmm.
find the gay community.
So you did have some acceptance and support in the community.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, some of the groups in Toronto that were really meaningful to you?
Well, number one is I'm a big supporter of Soy.
Yeah.
Soy is supporting our youth in Toronto, and I cannot rave about them anymore. Because they're just the most fabulous group there is. Like, I think they're geared towards youth under 25. And they just have so many programs that help us. Like, if it was not for, like, one of their programs, Queer Noise, which I was a part of when I was a youth, I don't know.
That's where we met, actually.
Yeah. That's where our love bloomed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have ever been part of the gay scene. I would have been one of those closet cases. That's not fun. We don't like closet cases.
Well, I mean, there's a reason it's there, and you know quite well how hard it can be for some people to not be in the closet.
As long as support.
Yeah.
Support for everybody.
It's so important.
Yeah. It's all about finding your inner self.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazing.
Oh, yes. And very sexy.
My phone number is 519. Sexy. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. And Carly, she's so awesome.
And thank you, Abbas, for doing this interview with me today.
Where's my cookie?
Oh, you'll get your tasty treat.